Yeah, it's my joy to be here to fellowship with you, as also to share about my life journeys. In some ways, the lessons that I learned, you know, in terms of ministry and how we can continue to press on in terms of the calling that God has given to us as His faithful servants. You know, as someone has said, you know, that let me just share screen first and then we'll see how it goes. Okay. You know, as someone has said, you know, it is a wise man learn from his own mistake, but a wiser man will learn from the mistake of others and put them into practice. You know, and as a fellow servants of the Lord, we are all very keen to do our very best, you know, for the Lord, whether we are missionaries, church leaders, pastors, or lecturers. You know, we want to do our very best for the Lord. And doing our very best for the Lord, you know, we try to learn as much as we can. That's why we enter into the seminaries, you know, to really grow our knowledge so that we can be effective servants for the Lord. And not only studying the seminaries, but we do read a lot of books, you know. If you're a pastor, you'll read books about church growth, you know, how to grow the church. If you're a youth minister, you try to find books, how to connect with the youth and all that. We will try to learn. And of course, along the journey, you know, you will read books about how to prevent burnt out. You know, so these are some interesting books, you know, that I encountered, you know, things like ministry killers, how to defeat them, or clergy killer. You know, so from all this, you realize that, you know, there are a lot of books, you know, to help people who are discouraged, you know, to prevent us, you know, from getting burned out in terms of our ministry, because we want to serve God. You know, as long as we can, you know, if God willing, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old, as long as we can. But the question then is, why? Why is it that some ministry is being terminated, you know, even before it blossoms, even before it grows? Let me just add my own sharing on this matter. And that is, you know, in terms of the ministry that we are in, you know, one reason why ministry does not flourish or continue to grow is because of jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy, the silent killer of ministry. Why do I say it is silent? Because in other killers of ministry, it's so obvious. You can see them. You know, if you're living an adulterous life, people can see. You know, that you're cheating on your wife, you're cheating on your husband. If you're a person that do not have the fruits of the Spirit, you know, people can see your anger, you know, how you deal with people and all that, people can see. But jealousy, I look at you now, I cannot see whether you're jealous. I look at you now, I cannot see whether you're envious. That's why I say it's silent. It will just creep up upon you and eventually swallow up the ministry that you believe that God has placed in your heart, you know, to serve Him. And so we need to be very cautious, because jealousy and envy is really something that we need to pay attention to in our daily walk. You know, the word of the Lord also reminds us on this. There are many, many scriptures about jealousy and envy. The one that the student has read earlier, you know, from the book of Proverbs, a heart at peace give peace to the body, but envy rots the bones. Even in 1 Corinthians itself, you know, it says you are still worldly, for since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? There are many, many passages on jealousy and envy, not only for minister, but for fellow are believers as well. God does not want jealousy and envy to happen, you know, in His church. We need to be careful of this, you know, and if there's envy and jealousy, it will, as Proverbs say it will rot the bones. It will cause bitterness in our life. It will cause emotional stress in our life because there's so much hatred, so much anger towards a fellow co-worker or a fellow pastor or even a fellow church member. You know, you'll be thinking about this person. Why is this person doing this? Why is he doing that? And emotionally, you know, you're so stressed, you know, because of envy and jealousy. Now, how do we define envy and jealousy? This is one of the definitions. Envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regards to another advantage or success or possessions. Jealousy, they define as resentment against a rival, a successful person, or someone who has advantage. Or another way to define it, you know, as someone. Envy is when you want what someone else has. But jealousy is when you're worried someone is trying to take what you have or what you think belongs to you. Jealousy has an idea that, you know, this thing or this position ought to belong to me. I want to be so protective about it. I don't want another person to take over from it. We may think that, you know, if the senior pastor steps down, you know, I should be the next in line to be the senior pastor. But then, what if the board is considering another senior pastor to come in? And then, this jealousy in you will come in, will make you have a sense of bitterness as well. Someone illustrate this much better. He said, if you want your neighbor new Tesla car, you will feel envy. Yeah? If you see, wow, nice car, you'll feel envy. But if this neighbor of yours take your wife for a ride in his Tesla car, you know, you'll feel envy. So that's the difference between envy and jealousy. You know, and for people who think that, you know, yeah, Pastor Joshua, you know, I'm a godly student, you know, I'm called by God, I give my very best to God, I will not feel jealous or envious at all. My response to you is just wait, just wait. It will come, sadly, it will come. You know, and recently, you know, I was sharing with a fellow servant of God, you know, telling him that I'll be sharing this among the seminary's students. Then so this fellow lecturer, you know, of a seminary also tell me this. He say, yes, this is very truth in his life as well. You know, because in his seminary, he's one of the lecturers there. And of course, there's another lecturer. And he was saying that this lecturer, you know, he's so well loved by the students. You know, they'll crowd around him, they'll go out with lunch around him. So he feels this sense of jealousy, this sense of envy as well. These are real. Just a caveat here, it's not BTS. So don't look around at the lecturers. You know, this from another seminary, far, far away, you know. Or another a pastor, you know, he was so envious of a fellow pastor. You know, when I hear him share about this fellow pastor, my heart was so, so sad. He was so upset with this pastor. Everything this pastor proposed, he will reject. You know, because this pastor has been praised by church members, have been praised by other pastors as well. And he felt a sense of jealousy. Very sad. It can happen. And this is where we need to be very, very careful. And usually it happens within our spheres of influence. You know, we usually get jealous or envious of people around us. You know, your fellow students, your colleagues, or even family members. husband can be jealous of their wife, and wife can be jealous of their husband, you know, because of how the children, you know, like the daddy better or like the mommy better. They can be jealous, but it's usually within the sphere of influence in terms of your relationship. And even in seminaries, you know, among students, if we are not careful, you know, there will be jealousy and envy among the student group as well. Or even in churches, you are serving in churches, if you have, you know, multiple staff, it can happen. You know, we won't get jealous, you know, if a student from TTC, you know, Trinity Theological College, you know, this student was being given a scholarship to study in US to do his doctorate. Okay, we're happy. You know, we won't get jealous about this person. But if, let's say, a fellow student, you know, this student friend of yours, same study group, you study together, and then he's the one that was given the scholarship to study in the US, but you was not even given a chance, what will happen? There will always be this sense of jealousy and envy. When will jealousy and envy, when will it not be sinful? This one will keep your eyes awake. Huh? I can see that many of our eyes are very big now. Huh? All these Korean actors and actresses, you know, what happened? What happened if one day, you know, when seminary is open, you know, one of your student friends walk in with one of these individuals, let me introduce my girlfriend to you, you know, and then, wow, and you know how you say, wow, this ugly pastor, huh? So old, huh? Still got and we feel a little bit of jealousy, you know, it will happen, you know, you will feel it, you'll feel jealous, you'll feel envious, but the thing is, you know, as one someone says, you know, we can feel it, you know, for a second, or even for a minute, you know, but we don't allow this feeling of jealousy, you know, to hold us down, to bind us down. As someone say, you can keep the birds flying over your head. You can't keep the birds flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your head. Just cast away the feeling of jealousy. Just cast away the feeling of envy. It will happen, you'll come in, but you need to just brush it aside. You know, it's a natural reaction, you know, just like if you kick your toe against the table, you know, you're walking and then you kick your table, you know, what will happen? You know, what words come out from your mouth when you kick your foot or your toes on the table? I remember, you know, when I was shopping in a NTUC, you know, there was this lady who was pushing the trolley. I was wearing flip-flops then. You know, and the trolley just hit my leg. Wow, it was so, so painful. You know, I almost lashed out at her. You know, I almost lashed out at her. And because it was so painful, this is our normal, natural reaction. We'll feel upset. We'll feel angry. You know, I believe none of you, you know, when you hit your toe, you know, on the furniture, you say, wow, it's a beautiful day. I don't think that will be your reaction. joyful, you know, when someone spill coffee on you or your favorite dress or Christian. No. But you feel upset and angry. Similarly, we may feel envious when something good happened to a fellow student or envy, but make it temporal. Make sure that it's just, you know, maybe for a second or two. I remember the story of Peter and John. I think you all also recall this story. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was sharing about Peter's demise, what will happen to Peter, and how the kind of death that he will encounter. You know, and I believe that, you know, when Peter was talking about this, was hearing what Jesus Christ said to him, I believe, you know, it's natural for Peter to just ask about, you know, about John. You know, it's possible that Peter was a little bit jealous of John, the so-called beloved disciples. You know, that's why he asked the question, what about him? The question, as I was reading through this, the question I asked myself is, how does John knew about this conversation that Peter had with Jesus? Have you asked yourself this question? How does John knew Peter has this conversation with Jesus? They were just talking quietly between both of them. Well, maybe some of you think that, well, it's possible that, you know, John is very near, that's why I can eavesdrop, you know, eavesdrop. But using my holy imagination, I suspect, you know, that Peter could be the one that shared with John the conversation. You know, that one day, you know, after Jesus Christ left the scene, you know, Peter and John, they're having coffee together at Covent, you know, your favorite place to have your meals, you know, and they're having coffee together, chit-chat, you know, and then Peter tell John, you know, that day, I had this conversation with our Lord Jesus Christ, and he mentioned about, you know, what would happen to me. Yeah, actually, I was a little bit jealous about you, you know, and I say this, I ask about you, you know, what kind of, where will you be, you know, in time to come, you know. And I believe that Peter had a good conversation with John, you know, it's not truly a jealousy kind of conversation, but it's a humorous kind of conversation, you know. And, you know, someone like each one of us, when something good happened to a fellow brothers or sisters, you know, if they move to a new house, you know, a very nice big house, you know, we may say a statement like, hey, I really envy you, you know. You know, so these are envy and jealousy that, you know, I think it happened, and I believe it is fine. You know, it's our human reaction. But when is it sinful? When will jealousy and envy be sinful? The Bible has many stories about this. One, of course, is the story of Joseph's brother. Joseph shared about what's going to happen to him, and his brother was envious of him. They're so envious of him, they just want to get rid of this little brother from their sight. Just get rid of him. They hated him so much that they sold him away. Or even for King Saul. You know, King Saul, the way that the Israelites, you know, they praised praised David then. How he defeated tens of thousands, but King Saul only thousands. And of course, jealousy creeps in quietly, silently, and makes Saul an enemy of David. You know, sometimes in ministry, I'm so sad that some of these things can happen. How I wish the spirit of jealousy and envy can be gotten rid of in our Christian ministry. You know, when a fellow co-worker is jealous of another co-worker, it really destroyed the ministry. It really caused division and hurt. And so sad that it happened so often. When we are not careful of what God is whispering to us in our walk with him. So this morning, are you jealous? Are you jealous of a fellow student? Are you envious of the things that's happening to a church leaders, they're serving with me. If there's jealousy and envy in our heart, let us ask the Lord and seek His forgiveness and seek repentance. Do not allow envy and jealousy to stay in your heart. Try to get rid of them as soon as possible. You know, if you keep envy and jealousy among you, you are in a sense 1 foot, a foot in the grave. You know, your ministry is really going downhill already. Your ministry is going downhill. The question then is, you know, Pastor Joshua, how do I know? How do I know an envious or jealous? You know, there are many things that happen, but how do I know? Of course, there are indicators, very common indicators, you know. So the first one, of course, is a general dislike of someone. You know, I'm not talking about chemistry, you know. I hope that by now, at your age now, you will know that you will know 100% of people will be happy with you and know 100% of people will be angry with you. By now, you should know. There's such thing called chemistry, you know. Certain lecturer will like certain student and certain student will like certain lecturers. You know, this is part of life, you know. But when I'm talking about general dislike, you know, it's just that you don't really like this co-worker or this person, this fellow student, you know, because he's more handsome than you, or because he's smarter than you, or because he's always score A and you always score C, you know, or because he's always been praised by people and you don't get praised by it. So you just don't like this person. You know, when study group is being formed, you know, you have been placed in the same study group, you say, no, I want to change my study group. You know, you're going out for lunch, you know, you avoid this person, you don't want to go out for lunch with this person. When this person walks into the room, you go out of the room. There's just this general dislike of this person. The question then you have to ask yourself is, why? Is it because you're envious of this person? Is it because you're jealous of this person? Oh, another indicators could be, well, you know, as pastors and full-time workers, you know, we don't slander people, we don't gossip, you know, about people. But when this person is being praised, do you act negative remarks to this about this person? You know, for example, someone can say, wow, this pastor, his preaching is so wonderful, so fantastic. But do you add phrases like, well, actually, do you know that, you know, his children are no longer attending church? Or do you say comments like, well, you know, do you know that this his relationship with the wife is no good, you know? Do you add negative remarks because you are jealous of the success of this person? And this one is so, so common. You oppose anything proposed by this person. You oppose not because of the issue, but just because this person A, you know, bring it up, you know, you will oppose, you know. For example, someone, a nice brother from whichever Baptist church is proposing to bring the whole seminary to Jeju Island, you know, for 2 weeks of holiday. Hey, hooray! But this brother say, I need 100% consensus, you know, in order to go to Jeju Island. And then you are so jealous of this brother, you say, no. Your reason? You will say, well, we should go to Israel instead. Oppose for opposition's sake. But when will you know? When will you know that you have, in a sense, slightly overcome jealousy and envy? It's when you really give thanks to God for this person. You know, when someone that you love, someone whom you care for, you know, has some so-called achievement, you feel for them. You still feel so joyful. You give thanks to God, you know, for the success of this person. You know, you are genuinely happy and you will pray for this person. That is when you know, you are not envious of this person or jealous of this person. Or when you genuinely care for this person. It's not a fake concern, you know, a fellow brother walked up the seminary steps, fell down the staircase, sprained the leg. No. But you genuinely care for this person. Then you know in your heart, you know, that you have overcome this sense of jealousy and envy. And of course, finally, you recognize and you're content with God has what God has blessed you with, you know, and you are thankful for the ministry that God has given you, and you're happy with it. Let me close with this. We are all God's children, and we have unique cause in our lives. So rather than be jealous of others' position or possessions in life, why not accept what God has done through their lives and work together for the common good of the church? Because a house divided cannot stand, and a little bit of jealousy can do a lot of harm to others and even to oneself. Do not let jealousy kills your ministry. Ask the Lord to give you a heart of contentment, like Paul has. Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gave me the strength. So fellow students, I just pray that you will not make the same mistake that a lot of Christian ministers and pastors make, and that is to harbor jealousy and envy in their heart. And it destroy their ministry, destroy a relationship. I really ask the Lord to give you the strength to overcome them. Thank you.